Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to The Match Ball. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. If you would like a 10% discount on your legal fees, go to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Will's probate conveyancing. That wasn't good, was it? Oh dear me.
Is that all Levi's get?
Yeah, it is today. I've got nothing in the tank, Moscow, to be fair. This is the first time since the Derby game when we kind of gave birth to this idea of talking about matches immediately after them that I've kind of thought, I don't know what to say. I don't want to come and do it and I don't know what to say. It's just the Leeds that we all feared was lurking beneath the surface has finally manifested itself. What are we, 43 games into the season now?
I'm sort of annoyed that I didn't see this coming because it was obviously going to happen, wasn't it?
What did you see coming? What did you think was going to happen today?
I thought we were going to win two games this week against at home and maybe look at getting up in the automatic promotion places.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I just thought we're better than Blackburn. We'll win. It was a bit of a slip up midweek, but we got away with it. But Blackburn are really not very good.
No, they're terrible.
They lost 5-0 last week.
Yeah,
this week, in fact.
Recently.
And I thought we'd win. And
think?
Truth be told, we probably should have done still, even though we didn't play particularly well, and the game definitely got away from us. But we were better than them for the vast majority of it.
Yeah.
Do you think Leicester fans were thinking the same thing, except with more wanking?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. They were also due to wins this week, so we've done a point better than them.
Is this the Leicester model?
Yeah, we're following the Leicester model by getting one more point than the league leaders.
Mm.
So we have gained.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worst thing, actually, Moscow. Why?
Or the best thing.
No, but here's the way I'm thinking about it in my mind is that, like, coming out of Ellen Road just then, for anybody who's just, like, on the stream, hello, thank you for joining us, you hardy souls. It was like a funeral procession coming out of that ground then, wasn't it?
Not for me, because a car full of people wound down the window and shouted, hi, Moscow.
Right,
so
now,
some people were having a good time.
Didn't get any of that
people
joy.
Seemed pleased to see me. I was brightening up the streets as I meandered through the traffic. So there were pockets of happiness generally just surrounding me.
Oh, well,
you've got the right shirt on.
That's nice for you. You've got your acid smiley shirt on, so that's good for you, is what I will say.
And for the people who enjoyed meeting me.
But I was walking back down and just thinking, it's not over, is it? That's the thing. It feels like you've witnessed like a terminal decline there, or the slow creep of one arriving anyway, and then you just realise it carries on. It carries on now as Ipswich kick off against Middlesbrough, and if they lose, then we're no worse off again, and it just rolls forward another week.
That's not the worst thing. That's the best thing.
But it's to feel such a devastating. Like you felt the air go out of Ellen Road when Smolik's goal went in.
It wasn't quite Derby. It was certainly Wigan was today. Where you turn up with expectations and the game itself starts panning out and you almost can't believe you're losing it. There's bits where you think, we'll surely score at some point here. And then it gets to 60 minutes and 70 minutes and you go, we've got a goal in us. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, he seems to be unmarked and thrown goal. Right.
And you could see it coming as well, couldn't you? Because we were pushing and there's just that gap. And you thought, if he gets that ball, he's got that ball inside. He's got the ball inside.
I think the goal was still, there was a lot of disorganisation after that substitution. Nobody was entirely sure because we were going three at the back and Firpo was being told to play as a left winger and we were working all that out. Everyone's like, so that is, where does Archie go? And there was a lot of people kind of pointing and discussing it. And then suddenly that's the moment when Smolik is in and Melier saved his one in the first half.
Good save.
Nothing you could do about this one. I don't think it was too... we were just caught. So we were caught reorganising, which I think you can probably happen when you get into that mood of like, right, we just need to keep make the right changes and we'll score a goal and it'll be fine. And then it's like, oh, shit, they could probably do something here. So... Mm. A little bit annoying. Well, very annoying.
Yeah, like the subs weirdly made it worse today, didn't they? I think we reached a sweet spot, maybe the first round of subs, which happened relatively early for Farke, worked up to a point. But then I tried to work out the formation. I think before they started making the late subs and we were in something resembling, it was like a 4-1-5, I think, or something like that. Like
it's 4-1-4-1.
I think where the subs didn't work is that Gruev was our best midfielder. And the pivot of everything, we took him off. Nonso was our most dangerous attacking player, and we took him off. So all of a sudden, it got worse after that, because I thought Gray was struggling a little bit in midfield. Somerville, nothing particularly came off for him. And Nonso seemed quite bright, I thought. He's actually willing to have shots from outside the box as well. He's pretty good at it. He made his forced to keep into his save, didn't he? One flash past the post. So I left him on.
He was the one player who looked like, yeah, he could, as we used the phrase before, unbalance the opponent. He was kind of, he was cutting him, wasn't he? And then... Just it was starting to open up a little bit and it kind of disrupted the usual pattern of, you know, do this, pass it there and all that.
Whereas Pirro essentially done nothing and got to stay on.
I think Pirro was fine. He was good in terms of like link up play when it happened. But it's trying to operate in that space at the edge of the area, isn't it? When they're crowding it and we don't quite know what to do with it. Because it started quite brightly and we looked like we kind of had a little bit more lead in our pencil. But then as that first half just crept on, you felt like we were just regressing back a little bit towards what it was like on Tuesday, not quite capable of unlocking them, and then we just fell into the usual patterns a little bit. But then halftime came, and you think, right, we'll reset, we'll go out at second half. But they started better at the start of the second half, which is what kind of vexed me a bit as well.
Yeah, we had a, we seemed in an odd mood at the start of the second half, and then there was that bit around the 65th minute when everybody just lost their minds as well, which was quite entertaining, which I was quite, I sort of enjoyed it a little bit because it seemed to rouse everybody. Like, why have we suddenly started passing to their players?
Yeah, it was Melier and then, was it then Rodon?
Yeah.
Did it straight afterwards.
And then there was, and then we had to clear it off the line and it came off the other side. So we just had a little couple of minutes of shaking things up. And I was almost like, well, good, because we've been in a bit of a rut. Then maybe this wakes everybody up out of it. On the two things there, I thought Pirro was good in that bit when after Bamford had come on, he was playing behind him. He suddenly was like getting on the ball, moving it forward and getting other players into quite good positions, which was nice. And then Nyonto, Farkas said, he was excellent and I tried to leave him on as long as possible, but you could also feel because he missed a couple of weeks of training that he had to take a breath more. He'd have been at bigger risk of shape, which I'm guessing is Phil Hayes autocorrect, letting something down. If I played him for 90 minutes, I'm going to guess.
Strains?
Yeah, maybe, or injury, whatever Phil's trying to tie. But he says, I was tempted to leave him on, but I think he's got concerned about his fitness, which I wondered if I sort of predicted that would be the reason, but looking at him in the few minutes before he went off, I thought it was fine.
Yeah,
he was the one player who looked like making it happen, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think he looked tired at all. No. But, oh, well.
But you got your fancy vests and your metrics and your you know, all that.
Yeah. But yeah, the subs, I thought it made us, it just seemed disjointed. Well, I don't think the players probably practice in that setup very often.
Well, the thing I observed, and do you agree, was that when Bamford came on and went to lead the line, and yeah, it was Pirro who dropped a little bit deeper, wasn't it? And then Joseph came into the same spot later on, that we were trying to kind of match their physicality and start putting balls into the box, which hadn't really worked for us all game. We had actually had more success by continuing to work the channels and try and get it out wide.
The problem is when Pat Bamford comes on, he gives you that option, but then the problem is it's Pat Bamford in the middle with the chances because like there's one where he headed over, but it kind of hits.
It's his back,
I was going to say it was like head, shoulder,
knee.
Yeah, exactly.
And toe.
And there was one where I think he was claiming he was being pulled, which he maybe was a little bit.
It was moment at the ref about that full time as
but
well.
I had no
patience for it. I was like, shut up.
He sort of chested it and fell onto the ball and it was just all a bit clumsy.
A few situations that I'd like to see back. Especially, there was the one where a member of Leeds staff got very irate in the Blackburn technical area and got a red card for that, which may have been the same one. I think there were two things that struck me about our attacking, and it goes full circle because we do all the stuff for 70 minutes of trying to play those little intricate passes into the penalty area to set up Somerville or Nyonto or Rutsev for a shot. and they don't work. And everyone's like, oh, well, we need to change this. And then we change it so that we start going wide and we start getting in lots of good early crosses. But then you're right, Bamford's in the middle and even whoever else is there. Nyonto was nearly on the end of one. Peru is a bit further out of the box. And you realise we're putting all these good crosses in, but we actually don't have players who can finish good crosses. Mm. There's no point in switching the crosses. So actually the first thing we were doing is actually our best chance of scoring because we've got the players who can do that. But then we've switched it and then that didn't work. And the other thing that's, I don't know why this hadn't occurred to me all season, maybe it's something people worked out ages ago, you know, the reluctance to shoot,
yeah.
And not to get us into a kind of a, I suppose we'll talk about it at some point. I'm wondering now if that is related to time-wasting goalkeepers, because it's a big decision now. If you take a shot and you don't score, you know that it's then 90 seconds of the game off, which is a big responsibility. If every time you take a shot, you are losing 90 seconds off the potential amount of attacking time available in the game.
So you think there are instructions maybe to be a lot more selective about the shooting?
Possibly instructions, or also just possibly just a natural thing to do, just like knowing that every shot carries that extra bit of responsibility. Mm. This had better go in, because if it doesn't go in, we're just going to be standing around for 90 seconds and then game gets away from us.
I am really, really bored of spending loads of this season just waiting for goalkeepers to take goal kicks. It's every single game. It's just... it's so easily solved. Like, he could have booked the keeper at basically any point from the first goal kick for time wasting. And instead, he waited till the 85th minute. And he clearly didn't have the bottle to send him off after that, because he didn't change after that either. He's just continued doing what he was doing.
And he waited till the 85th minute for when they were 1-0 up. Mm. So it's like, oh, now you're time wasting. Before, that was just managing the game. That was just play. But now you're clearly trying to protect a lead. And I think the players will get bored with that as well. And it will be... it's got to be in your minds that this is the way the game is at this point. So if I take a shot from here, is it going to be worth it? And that's why it's always... so that's a theory that occurred to me during the game as to why... because we're always seem to be wanting that guaranteed moment to shoot. Like if there's a slight chance it's going to be deflected or something, or it's not going to go in, take a touch or lay it off to somebody else. And then,
it's possibly data as well. Like there'll be somebody sat there crunching numbers going, this number of shots from this place don't go in, so keep working it.
How many goals have we scored this season compared to the rest of the league? Loads.
Yeah, plenty. And the other thing that was annoying me with the ref failing to notice time wasting was every single free kick throw in they had deliberately going to the wrong place to take it. So the ref then had to go, no, you need to move back. But it's just an obvious way of wasting like another 15, 20 seconds, because you go, oh, sorry, I've made a mistake here. I forgot that it had gone out further back there. I'll move it now. And then you go through the whole process of setting it up again.
Mm. The true response to the stuff at the start of the season about we're going to start playing for, we'll start adding stoppage time properly, is that lots of cynical teams got really wise about how they would do it, how they would get around that without being penalised. And then the referees and the officials went, oh, we won't bother doing it as much. But then all those players have learnt all these new ways of slowing the game down. So the net result is that the whole thing has got much worse. Because it does feel worse than it did. I don't know if it's just because we're attacking all the time. But certainly even watching games that don't involve leads, it just seemed in general to have got loads worse. When at the start of the season, the old idea was, we're cracking down on this. It's going to be solved within months. So
although it does feel like a secondary gripe compared to just the failure to put the ball in the net. And Farker said that actually in the post-match. What went wrong? We didn't put the ball in the net. If you don't score, you don't win games. And Szmodics has the quality we didn't show. He needed just one situation to score. And that actually is reflected in a comment that let's have a look, Tony put in the stream comments. We don't seem to have a killer instinct. We don't at times, do we? I think there's... we don't sometimes feel like we can put our foot on the throat of the opponent and finish the job, if you like. Sometimes it just feels like it's very methodical, and if it doesn't work, they get frustrated or just run out of ideas. I don't know. And, you know, football's like that, isn't it? But
I mean, we do keep going. We were still attacking even at 1-0 down in the 95th minute. We're still plugging away. So the effort and the desire to score and the willingness to keep doing the things that they're there to do never seems to drop. But there is that, we were talking about it all up until the unbeaten run started after Christmas, which was we miss a kind of a Pablo Hernandez player. Yeah. And now that we've started not winning again, that's come back. And it is, it was there at the start of the season when we drew with Sheffield Wednesday, and I did a little tot up of the experience that we had on the pitch. It's like, this is essentially Somerville's first full season as a first team player since he was 16 in the Dutch Division 2. And he's regarded as the best player in the Championship, and the player is supposed to be dragging his whole line. But he's never done anything like this before. He's never played as many games in a league before. So it's all new to him. Ruter, first full season at this level at 21. He's not played this many games in a league before. Nyonto, we signed him from the Swiss league, played a few games in the Premier League, looked good as a brand new player. But now it's a very different thing when you get to, you've played 42 games in the Championship, and it's essentially, you've never played more than 30 in a season before. And I think that is part of Farker's argument for starting Pirou or Bamford in particular, when he talks about him ahead of somebody like Matteo Joseph. He's like, I've already got three attackers out there who have never played this much football in a season before and never felt this much responsibility or been under this much stress at the end of a season with something, with a Championship on the line. The last thing I need is to put another inexperienced player in there. So Bamford keeps getting picked, and Bamford, although he's dropped today, Bamford keeps getting to come on. Bamford keeps going for headers with the small of his back.
It's quite remarkable how Patrick Bamford makes crosses into the box less dangerous, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. He's no Edgar Charney.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Just checking in on Ipswich, 0-0 so far.
Southampton are winning, though.
Against Middlesbrough. That's great, yeah, because they're only 6 points behind us now, aren't
I mean,
they
genuinely are from absolutely nowhere back in the race now, Southampton, because everyone's completely shit the bed at the top of the league.
The other thing that's, and this is, if you want, this is guaranteed to make Ipswich score now. That's the thing about the top three. None of us can score.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
So, Ipswich goal in 3-2-1, but it's, you know, we are not alone. I watched the Leicester Plymouth game last night, and it was, they absolutely looked like they were going to romp straight through. There was so much space in Plymouth penalty area, they could have scored four by half time or in the first half hour. And then in the last 20 minutes, some of the most some laughable efforts on goal, there's wild shots that are going behind people's heads and just like awful attacking. And running out of ideas and ending up frustrated, and then Enzo Maresca locked up in the dressing room and didn't do a press conference. So it seems to be everybody is, I think, with the gulf between the top three, Southampton somewhere in the middle, and then the rest, is that at this stage of the season, everybody, Blackburn, Plymouth, I don't know what Borough will do against Ipswich, but everyone's going for that. Defend like fuck and just try to get a point out of this. Because it's clear that the top three teams are so much better than the rest of the division, and then try to nick one. So it was Adam Forshaw's quality that beat Leicester last night, and then it's Smodic, he's just a fucking goal machine. It's not about how much I liked him the other week. I'll take that all back now.
Well, Ayling's playing today. You got Leeds legend Luke Ayling, Johnny Howson, and Lewis O'Brien all playing for, for Middlesbrough down there. And little turncoat Judas Davis, Leif Davis, left back for Ipswich. So we'll see who has the upper hand in that one. It's the first time I just wanted it all to go away today, you know.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's Wigan is this for me today.
Yeah.
On paper, just a nice, easy win. Everything's going right around us. It's there for the taking. No, not allowed nice things.
Last day will be fun.
Might be meaningless.
Probably. Just a dress rehearsal for losing at Wembley.
Potentially.
Well, that's optimistic, though, if you think we're going to get to Wembley.
Oh, we'll get to Wembley just so we can have the travel, the expense. We can build it up as a great day out.
Don't have to go.
No, that's true. And then the bastards will absolutely let us down.
I don't think we'll get to Wembley. If we end up in the playoffs, I can't see us doing anything there.
They need to arrest this slide, nerves, whatever it is. Like, if we'd have won today, if we'd have got that goal when we were dominating the game, it could have framed the entire close of the season differently, couldn't it? But it's just, and we're down to sort of, not just games, but individual moments in games now. When they don't turn, when it doesn't happen, it just seems to have this cascading knock-on effect for everything.
The thing is, we went chasing it today, clearly, didn't we? Because we were on top. And the players on the pitch, probably you thought if we carry on, we probably will win this, but we rolled the dice to try and force it, which ultimately is probably what led to them scoring. But equally, like, a draw is no good, is it, in a game like this? You do want to go for it. You know, and now I suppose we're in the position of we have to win our remaining three games.
Yeah.
I would say.
There's a small element of wanting it both ways because Farker has been hammered for the last 10 days about not making enough substitutions and not making them early enough. And today there he was. It was, what time did we make the first sub?
It was about 60 minutes, wasn't it?
So he's making the attacking substitutions that everybody has been crying out for. And then now we're saying all the subs are wrong.
I didn't like them.
Yeah.
Do better subs.
They didn't quite work. I was thinking that at the time as well. Like, we've implored him to make subs, and he did. Yeah, he did roll the dice earlier, and I thought they worked up to a point. But then the more subs we made, it seemed to work less in the end.
I didn't like Grove and Nonto off at all because Grove off just lost his whole control. I thought it was possibly our best player was Grove until it went off.
I think there's he said it about Nonto, where he missed 2 weeks injured. And so he's worried about that, the impact that has on him. Groove was also out for, and I get the feeling that with the ankle injury he had in what Farker very sarcastically called the Classico of Bulgaria versus, was it Azerbaijan that they were playing? It was like this Classico that he got injured in. He probably should have been out longer with that injury. So they brought him back sooner to get through it. And then, I think I need to watch again, but I definitely got the feeling that it wasn't that there was a terrible structural deficiency after Grove had gone off. It was that Blackburn scored before we got reorganised.
And then
we were desperate.
Yeah, it was like the late attacking. It wasn't, none of it was catastrophic. The shape just kind of came away a little bit. It wasn't the same like patterns. Like, because I noticed at one point when he makes these subs and he had Somerville and Nonto hanging around together, the little Bezzies out there on the left. And it's almost like putting on two wingers at a time. You have like two on each side in order to kind of get round the back, because you might as well, because they're sitting deeper and deeper and deeper. So I kind of get it. I don't think it's all chuck a load of attackers on and see what sticks. I think there is method to the madness. But we've sort of resorted to, as the players, I think, sort of fed off the panicky energy of the crowd as it got later and later and later, just started to wobble. The whole thing wobbled, didn't it? I think fans wobbled. Players wobbled. It wobbled like jelly.
It's nice to see Stuart Dallas.
It was. Yep, very emotional. Long old. Takes quite a while to get around that. Hitch.
There's a lot of clapping.
There was a
lot of clapping.
Yeah, which he deserved every palm of.
Yes, so that was nice. Actually, I had a little tear form in my eye.
Yeah, I had a bit of a lump in the throat.
Oh, well.
Needed a Dallas to try and drag us out of that, didn't it? Someone who'd just be like, get out the fucking way, everyone.
He was best player against Derby in the playoffs, and we still didn't win, so it might make no...
That's true.
Still make fuck all difference.
Yeah, you're right, actually. That is the example, isn't it? Never mind. Nothing you can do is the...
Soon be dead.
The universe just doesn't want good things.
Oh, man. It's not over, is it? It's not over. There's still it could still twist and turn. And like I said, that's what I meant before, Moscow. Like, it's dragging the agony out. And when today's happened and I feel like shit coming out of the ground, but you remind yourself, actually, not, it's not over. There'll be another, there's another round of games, then another. But tonight, I just want it all to go away.
Southampton 2 up.
Brilliant.
Anyway, let's not worry about that just yet, because if we can't win any games anyway, it doesn't much matter.
Who have Southampton got next?
I don't know, someone.
Check.
Oh, you want me to check, yep. Do you? Fine. They go away to Preston and then away to Cardiff, then away to Leicester. Okay. So they've got a few fairly tough games.
There's that argument of sort of keeping them cooking so that they beat Leicester. Because Leicester have got the hectic schedule, yeah, trying to fit in all those rearranged games. Ipswich, it's been 20 minutes and they've not scored against Middlesbrough. I'm really trying to tempt all the fate, mate, down. They've not scored against Middlesbrough.
Don't look at the momentum graph.
I bet that momentum graph will be identical to ours against Blackburn today and Leicester's against Plymouth last night, and look how those two games have ended up. I'm predicting, in fact, don't gamble, kids, but I'm putting there's a pound going on Ipswich lose 1-0 right now.
0.78 XG. It's pointless talking about the stats in a game we're not watching, isn't it? Mm. What else was bad today? things we actually played, it was a better performance than midweek.
I felt a lot lighter, a lot lighter mentally coming into this than I did on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I thought, we've kind of got that out of our system. It feels like everyone's going to be right behind it today.
I think we're just all at a bit of a loss, aren't we, for it? What do we do in the next game? Because part of what the problem was here was that we needed to make some changes. It felt like
Burrow scored.
We made some changes.
Burrow scored.
There you go. There you go.
It's back on, everybody. I'm ready. We're going up as fucking champions.
I didn't get the time to get the bet on. That's annoying. Right, that finishes like that.
What an absolute... I hate this division. I hate it all.
I do. I feel like the division is basically...
If we come through this, boys, we'll look back on it and we'll go, wasn't that fucking fun?
The division is like taking its revenge on what looked like three potential records. Points totals, it's like it's gone, nah, fuck off. None of you have it anymore now.
It's Luke Ayling with the assist.
Good lad, Luke.
Good boy.
Good lad. Good
have we done it now? Have we got is the sadness out? It's back on. No, it's back on. Come on.
To make myself even sadder, I've pulled up the what happened after that Wigan game. Yeah, and that's when we went to Brentford a couple of days later in it and lost 2-0. And Pablo cried.
Yeah.
And Keith Stroud was the ref.
Keith Stroud was fourth official today, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah.
Is that why one of our coaching staff was sent off, because that little pig fucker grassed him.
Yeah, that's it. That is it.
Who was the ref today, actually?
He was called James Bell. The only time he's refereed us before was that 4-1 against Huddersfield at the start of the season.
Right.
Otherwise...
Bell End, if you ask me. Bell End.
Yeah, it wasn't great. He just didn't get a grip on what was going on, did he?
Things refereeing is a really, really difficult job. But the time-wasting bit is really easy to deal with. Because it happens so slowly.
Mm.
Like, I can understand refs missing, like, handballs where it flashes across the box and you're not sure if it's or if an offside and someone steps out or someone moves forward. That's really hard to do. Watching a goalkeeper doing kick-ups and pulling up his socks for the 200th time, that's just so easy to see and go, oh, right, he's wasting time here. I could book him.
Just need to address some of the comments that are coming in. Big Boy Bok Choy is saying, Dan, keep in mind Wapes, which you're known for. Incest? Is that
tractors?
Right, yeah. Late goals. Yeah, I mean they might win. They might, but you know what? That has given me a little bit of hope after it felt like I've just come from a bloody wake.
They didn't score any late goals in the last game, did they?
No.
It's all going great.
Mm.
Very happy about everything.
And that is the stupid thing. If it can somehow just contrive just to stay like that for us, if it could until full time. Mm. I might just believe again.
I've got another refereeing complaint.
Go on.
I'm just checking my notes. I knew he'd done something else that had annoyed me. On one of the times where the keeper had the ball in his hands for about 40 seconds waiting to kick it, rather than have a word with their goalkeeper for not kicking it, he instead told Pat Bamford to not stand as close to him, even though he was 10 yards away.
Yeah.
Instead, it was like, you need to move. It's like, he's nowhere near him. He's just taking as long as he possibly can here.
The thing is, even if it's not bookings, just add the time on.
Yeah,
and then we had another classic from our poor signed pal holding up the board at the end of the first half, 1 minute.
Yeah, Mike, I've just realised, you know that you floated the idea of us maybe playing out the Italian draw on the final day with Southampton. Can we...
Could it be engineered?
Could we get it? Mike, if we...
Depending on how it goes, it could be a thing. That would be quite funny.
Oh, man alive. Football, eh? Football. What a stupid game.
We'll agree to play out the Italian draw and we'll lose.
We'll kick it in our own net.
Some stupid fucking pass back will go under Melier's foot and we'll somehow lose.
Dear me. Well, not a great day.
Awful day.
But there will be other days, won't there?
Other highlights. I enjoyed Ethan Ampadu's foul throw. Thought it was good.
That was good. He wasn't taking the throw. It was Sam Byram's fault for...
It's like what Bayern Munich did at Arsenal, wasn't it? Just taking two goal kicks and handballing it and that. Do you see that?
Oh, I didn't see it.
But the keeper put it down.
I don't like to watch good quality football. It sickens me.
Keeper put it down on the ground in the 6-yard box, passed it out to whoever it was. It was the defender.
Right, yeah.
Who then picked it up, rolled it, put it back in the 6-yard box, and then took it again. And thought, saying, well, he's just kicked it out to him.
A similar thing happened today, actually. They took it quick and Pirro started closing him down and the ref bottled that as well and went, oh, no, he probably didn't take it. Just don't do that. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I'm taking it out on the ref because I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
As shit as he was, it wasn't really about the ref.
No.
He could have helped.
This is where they're convenient people. Because you kind of, you want to limit how much of a go you have at your own team's players, because I love all of them and I hope they win the next three games by lots of goals. Whereas the referee, I hope I never see him again. So I don't care if I leave him with a hail of insults. It's kind of, it's their job, particularly Keith Throut.
It was almost like he was determined not to be swayed by the crowd baying for things to be hurried along. So he just let it go. I'm not going to listen to you as a response to that.
Yeah. I'm my own man.
Yeah,
I'm wrong, but I'm my own man. And that's in some ways more important.
You'll have had Keith Stroud in the referee's room before the game going, here, big man, here. Just don't listen to him here at Elland Road.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I believe. To go back to something you were saying earlier about the lack of a number 10 and the Pablo person, Ruta did it for a bit, didn't he? And now he looks chaotic.
Well, again, he's 20.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of the creativity on the pitch and...
Yeah.
Turning players and beating players and pulling teams out of shape, and he's just not done it for a while.
Well, I think two things have happened. One, a hernia operation. Two, he's 20. Three, Blackburn. Did that win definitely keep them up today?
It's like, more or less.
As the season is coming down the wire, teams are more worried about defending and have more footage of Routier attacking to find out the ways to stop him. So he's lost the element of surprise that he may have had. Still starting up really well in lots of situations. He does have that great ability through his sheer strength to kind of hold off a defender, knock the ball around them, run through them, and then get on the ball again. But then he's finding that everybody's... It's just very difficult to then find another player after that. Or he can get it into Somerville, give it to Firpo. And then we're in the penalty area, but so are eight defenders. And then you're trying to tap an angle for a shot, but then there's another defender there, so you lay it off. And then the ball doesn't quite have the quality on it. And then also it's all just, we're trying to break these things down with a bunch of kids, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's where it's not Pablo's influence was not only his ability, it was the experience of having seen every situation before, whereas a lot of, because of the, not just the age, but the lack of football that these guys have played, is just being in situations that, on a pitch that they've just never been in before. But there were bits today where we were a bit, in fact, it is staring me in front of my face where I wrote it down. It was Pirro played a ball to Nyonto that was a bit too far for him, but Nyonto ran and kept it in. And then Nyonto crossed to Pirro, but it was just a bit behind him. And so there's lots of things like that that are just not quite there. Whereas the Blackburn players, I was really struck, particularly in the first half, by how their midfielders were just missing each other by about 15 clear yards. And that's why I was quite optimistic or like quite relaxed that we would probably win the game, because they just seemed so far off the quality that even if our players are missing each other, well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe missing a player by a yard or 15 yards doesn't actually make much difference because you're still missing them. But hey, we don't play until, I know that that week of Borough and QPR is a bit insane, Monday and Friday, but I do wonder if perhaps a week off and a weekend off, tired legs, tired minds, all that stuff, and maybe being, I suppose it didn't help us at Coventry, but not being at Elland Road for those two games may help as well. So it's like,
Elland Road, where we've not lost all season until today.
Well, until today.
The white kit, we've lost in that. Yeah. Elland Road, we've lost in that.
It's all gone.
Everything. It's
all gone. Do you know how many corners we've had this week?
426.
25. Yeah. Do you know how many of them have been any good?
Was it? I can't remember where I saw the stat now, but it was maybe somewhere on Twitter, so apologies for whoever it was. But I think prior to this game, it was 126 corners we'd had since we last scored from a corner. So it's probably about 156 now.
Bloody hell.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. It's too many. It's weird how Joe Rodon's so good in the air and he never looks like he's going to score from a corner.
Mm.
It's weird.
Well, yeah, sort of set pieces in general, they're not great, are they? But anyway.
No.
A chat for another day. Let's wind it up there and hope that the events in Suffolk remain as they are and Middlesbrough build on there.
Come on, you tractors, etc. One of the other things that they definitely sing.
So, this next week, obviously, we'll be back with you. Regular suite of shows. Going to record with Phil after this as well when he gets over from Elland Road after the presser. Here's the thing, right? If Ipswich lose today, how will you feel come tonight?
I don't know.
Don't do it to yourself.
No. Stop doing it to me.
I didn't mean to do it to you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I put it in your head and I'm withdrawing it from your head.
Crikey.
Quickly.
Well, I'll be thinking about that and that's horrible. Although, was it better than that game? It might be, I don't know. Oh, I couldn't feel any sadder.
It's 1-1, I think.
Fucking hell. Yeah, 1-1. Never mind. That was a nice while it lasted.
Hey, there we go. So we had at least a nice 10 minutes anyway.
Leicester have had 22 corners in the last two games and not scored by my count.
Right, I think
they're terrible as well.
The point now, with it being 1-1, is the point to check out from the show and just say thank you for joining us.
Just lost my two. I put £2 on. I got carried away. So that's why you shouldn't gamble, kids. It's bad. You also shouldn't do drugs, and you should stay in school.
Yeah, that's the end.
The Match Ball.